So hi, hello and welcome. Oliver Kim here, and I would like to welcome you again to another episode of Talk Smart. And today I'd like to explore the question if simpler explanations are usually better. Are simpler explanations usually better? And sometimes I'm asked myself the question, why is science so complicated? Huh? Why is nature so complicated and science is also complicated and everything's so complicated? And I remember that I used to say this myself when I was studying at university. I asked my professor the very same question. At that time, I was very intrigued by the complexity of all of the biochemical events that occur in living cells. And he laughed. I remember this. I asked it to ask this question, why is everything so complicated? And then he started to laugh. But he didn't laugh at me, but he was in a very well-meaning way. He showed some kind of an understanding by laughing. So he was quite nice. And he said, yeah, it's complicated, but only when you hear it the first time. So that's basically his quote. And this kind of stuck to me. I think this is a very good answer. Because if you hear something over and over again, then you start to become used to it and you start to understand the things better. Yeah. And indeed, this is the case. Many of the things that I did not understand or think that I understood at the very beginning when I started to study, now I do understand because I've heard it so many times. Yeah. Let's go on a little bit here. There are many other things that people say, it's all so complicated and they don't understand it. I'll tell you, for example, that if you take the DNA of one single human cell and if you stretch it out, then it's around 2 meters long. And many people, and myself included, says, I mean, how can 2 meters of DNA fit into one small cell? And well, the answer is, it's possible because it's so incredibly thin. Yeah. So it's difficult to imagine because, we do not have any real life comparison for this. Yeah. Or for example, if you take the total surface area of the lungs has about the size of an apartment. I've read values between 50 and 100 square meters. It's the size of an apartment. How can so much fit into the lungs? You know, well, because the alveoli, are quite small. Again, we don't have any real life comparison here. Or did you know that if you put all of the blood vessels together, you have the distance of 100,000 kilometers, yeah, of one person. Yeah, that's 2.5 times around the Earth, yeah, or one third of the way to the Moon. I mean, that's very long, very difficult to imagine. And then I say, well, that's difficult to understand. Yeah, but what I'd like to do now is a little bit to move on here. And talk a little bit about scientific explanations, because sometimes what you have is you have competing explanations for the same facts. So scientists observe something, and now there are competing theories that both try to explain those facts. And the question is now is which theory is better? Yeah. And this idea actually goes back all the way to the 13th and 14th century. There was a gentleman, William of Ockham, his job was, he was actually a priest. And he was very much into this thing as well. And he had this very straightforward philosophy here, what I call the KISS principle. These are not his words, right? KISS, keep it simple and short. Keep it short and simple. It's the KISS principle. And he basically said that if you have competing theories, if you have multiple explanations that explain the same thing, what you have to do is go for the simpler one, okay? Don't make it more complicated than necessary. Go for the simpler one. The simplest explanation is usually, not always, but usually the correct one. So I'd like to give you a little an example over here. Seems to be a ridiculous example, but actually I mean it quite seriously. I mean, let's say that I have over here a thermometer, right? And what I do now is I put the thermometer into the sun, and the thermometer, the mercury, this is the metal in the thermometer, goes up. I mean, nowadays maybe you're more digital thermometers, but in any case, the value goes up, right? And there are now two possible explanations here, okay? Explanation number one is that the heat of the sun causes the mercury to expand, and therefore the mercury column in the thermometer rises up. That is explanation number one. And the second explanation is if you put it in the sun, there's a little demon inside the thermometer that wakes up and causes the mercury, pushes up the mercury. That's the second explanation, okay? And the question now is which one is correct? And I tell you the following. Well, I think the demon is a pretty good explanation because, it explains a lot of things. It explains also, why, for example, at night, the reading is lower because then the demon is asleep. In winter time, the demon is hibernating. Yeah. So basically it's sleeping as well. That's why in winter time, the reading is lower, even if you put it into the sun. And we see the same thing also with some other animals which are hibernating, they're sleeping throughout the winter. Yeah. And then in summertime, it's like this, that the demon starts to wake up again and the thermometer reading goes up again, right? So I think this little demon in the thermometer is a very, very convenient little thing because it's able to explain pretty much everything. Yeah. And then on the other hand, you have the whole thing, the physical explanation. Well, if you put it into the sun, then the solar radiation causes the temperature to go up because of the vibration of the molecules and so on, right? And the more the molecules vibrate, the more space they need, and this lowers the density, and therefore the mercury and all the mercury goes up, and all this physical explanation here, right? So which one is the better one? And you're gonna say, yeah, of course. I mean, we know that the demon's not right. We've never seen a demon before, and I'm telling you, I've never seen temperature before, right? I've never seen the movement of the molecules before. On that level, right? So you see what I mean? What I'm trying to say is we have here two competing theories. The question now is, which one's the better one? Okay. And the problem is that sometimes the more complicated theories, like the one with the demon, they seem to be so easily, they're so convenient because they explain everything. You see? The other one with the temperature, I don't know. Yeah, some people have a difficulty imagining this as well because sometimes you don't have any real life comparisons. But there is actually a more rational way of testing the theories, because what you have to do is you have to look at the theory which uses the fewer assumptions. The theory with the fewer assumptions is the better one, because the one theory with a fewer assumptions is the simpler one. Assumptions cannot be proven or disproven. We just have to assume them. Therefore, assumptions are not accessible to scientific study as such. And now you're going to say, the demon, we just have to assume that there is a demon there. Well, not only that. We have to assume that the demon can sleep, that the demon is able to wake up, that the demon is able to make the mercury move, and so on. Yeah. And we do not even know what this demon is. And we have no way of measuring this little demon. Yeah. So it's not even accessible to scientific study. The temperature, on the other hand, if we know that, what temperature is and that it's the movement of the particles, well, then this, is already also in agreement with other established theories. And at the same time, it's able to explain everything else. So actually the demon theory is way too complicated. Some people think it's the simpler one because all you have to assume is that there's a demon there, but it's not. There's so many other questions that start to appear. At the same time, cannot really be connected to other scientific theories as well. It's not in agreement with any other scientific theories as well. Yeah, so this is really the concept that people start to call the Occam's razor. And Occam's razor means that you have to shave away all unnecessary assumptions. Yeah? So why should we assume the existence of an invisible demon in the first place? I mean, we just say, the mercury is able to wake up and is able to sleep in the wintertime and so on. Yeah, I don't even need a demon. Yeah, I just say, assume the mercury during the summer, the mercury wakes up. In wintertime, the mercury goes into hibernation. When there is sun on the mercury, then it's day, and then the mercury wakes up. I don't even need a demon, really, right? So you see that it's unnecessarily complex. And I would like to illustrate this by giving you a second example here, which relates to the origin of life. And the question is really, where did the first cells come from? I mean, all living things on the earth come from an original cell. The question is now, where did this first cell come from? And there are two explanations for this. One explanation is, in the primordial soup, as scientists call it, early earth was hot and like a soup. And this is where the first cell formed. That's explanation number one. And explanation number two is that the first cell traveled on an asteroid, which impacted Earth. And this is how the first cell came into Earth. This concept is called panspermia, and seeded, like the Earth was seeded by the first cell from outer space. Yeah. So which one is the better theory? Yeah. And the better theory is clearly the one with the primordial soup, that the first cell appeared here on Earth. Because with the asteroid, we have to assume that there was an asteroid, and we still don't know where the cell came from on the asteroid. So we're just making it more complicated, but in reality, we're not gaining anything from this. Huh? We still wouldn't know where did the first cell come from. Yeah, it came from an asteroid. Yeah, okay, from where does it have it? From how did it get on the asteroid, right? So we're just pushing out the problem here. So this is essentially the thing that I would like to pass on to you. And this is a very useful thing also when talking about so-called conspiracy theories, where some people think that there are conspiracies everywhere. I mean, the craziest conspiracies. And I've had a debate with a few students a few years ago. And they said, we just assume that everything's a conspiracy. And this is the simplest thing, because everything's a conspiracy. The government's after us. They're trying to do all the nasty things to us. They're trying to control us. Yeah, that's all. We have to assume that the government is in charge of all of those bad things happening, and it's our only assumption. No, there are so many other things that we have to then assume. So in this one assumption, it opens up more questions than other things, than other explanations, right? To give you the example, last example, if you see a burning tree somewhere, out there on the field, there are two explanations for this. A lightning struck the tree and set the tree on fire, or there was a secret government's weapons program that set the tree on fire. I mean, both are possible, okay? But honestly, in the second case, you have to assume that there is a government weapons program. You have to assume that something went wrong there, and to set the tree on fire, and. Yeah, there's so many assumptions in the second explanation here. And lightning, we see this every day happening. So it's still fascinating for me personally why still people try to adhere to conspiracy theories. Yeah? Because, I mean, you're just fabricating something. You can fabricate anything. If you want, you can make everything more complicated. Yeah? So I'm not saying that conspiracies per se don't exist, but then you have to give me evidence that they exist. Yeah? And in many cases, these evidences do not exist, and people start to fabricate things and simply make everything more complex. Okay, Albert Einstein, I want to quote him again. Apparently he said, make everything as simple as possible, but not simpler. Now here at the very end, again, a couple of questions for discussion. Can you come up with examples where the theory or explanation with the fewest assumptions is not always the best explanation? And question number two, is it not also important to consider the quality of the underlying assumptions and not just the number of assumptions that carry a theory or hypothesis? How can quality of the assumptions be assessed? And last, try to collect examples of various conspiracy theories, the moon landing, for example, which supposedly never happened, and try to come up with a list of assumptions that you have to take in order to accept these conspiracy theories. Okay, I think I would like to leave it at that now. Again, a little bit of food for thought. And all the best, and see you around next time. Bye-bye.